Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or jeffweilercolumbusautomall.com.
Did you know using your browser in incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? Take back your privacy with IPVanish VPN. Just one tap and all your data, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be instantly protected. IPVanish makes you virtually invisible online. Use IPVanish on all your devices, anytime you go online at home, and especially on public Wi-Fi. Get IPVanish now for 70% off a yearly plan with this exclusive offer at ipvanish.com/audio.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome to hour number two on our Football Friday Live right here on the early line on Sports Grid. He is Joe Ranieri. I am Ben Stevens. We continue our entire preview of the entirety of the Week 5 Sunday slate around the National Football League. It starts early. It's in London. The Jets and the Vikings, as we detailed right before we ended out the opening hour. Now into hour two, we continue our breakdown of Sunday. Big Blue, Mike Blewett, will join us in our second half hour to look at a variety of games around the National Football League. And of course, it is October. The division series begin tomorrow with a quadruple header in MLB. We'll touch on all four of those. We will set the stage for not only a Saturday slate in college football that might be a little bit lackluster, so Friday makes up for it. A banger of a Friday night in CFB is ahead as well, Joe Ranieri.
I am, I'm looking forward to it. I like the games tonight in college football. Like you said, a little slimmed down NFL slate on this Sunday with the byes coming into play. But a lot of spots here, Ben, as we head into week five here. Some important spots, divisional matchups. I'm looking very forward to this weekend.
Four teams on the bye, by the way, around the NFL this week. The Lions, the Titans, the Eagles, and the Chargers. We will not see them in action. 12-game Sunday slate. Let's continue with some great AFC matchups between teams we still expect to contend for a conference crown. Let's go to Houston. It's the Texans and the Bills on Sunday. As of this moment, Buffalo, a very slight road favorite, Joe, in H-Town, laying a point and a half. But as you can see in those money line numbers, with a little bit of movement, they are only separated by just a couple of cents. Less than 10 cents, I see it live, minus 112 for Buffalo on FanDuel, minus 104 for Houston. Total stands at 47.5. So, Joe, just a couple of cents separate these two teams on the money line for a huge matchup on Sunday between two teams both at 3-1. Just how close is this game going to be between the Texans and the Bills?
Yeah, I love the spot here for the Buffalo Bills, coming off an absolute thrashing against the Baltimore Ravens, who literally just ran all over them. And the good news for Buffalo is, yeah, you got your lunch handed to you there. But the good news is you're taking on a Houston team that is nowhere even remotely close in the same rushing category offensively that the Baltimore Ravens are. In fact, I can make the argument this is not a very good Houston offense, folks. This is a struggling offense. C.J. Stroud looks to be having that sophomore slump. Defensive coordinators now have a year or so of tape on them. They're throwing different looks. We saw what Minnesota did to them. We even saw with Jacksonville. If it wasn't for a last second ridiculous drive in order to be able to win that game there, Houston, we're having a different conversation about Houston here, and I like Buffalo in a big way to be able to bounce back in this spot. It's all about matchups here. They do get their safety back, the Buffalo Bills there. They will have Taron Johnson back for this one, which is good news there. They also will get their starting linebacker back. So they did lose Von Miller, who got suspended for 4 games. The reality to me is, and when you're talking about the Buffalo Bills, you're talking about a team that has shown they can put up points with the best of them. Look at the numbers, Ben. Houston does not rank top 10 in about anything right now. This is a different Houston team, one that is overvalued, I think, in the marketplace, and one the Buffalo Bills are going to expose.
It's been a different season, right? Based on differing expectations for C.J. Stroud, D'Amico Ryans, and Houston in year number 2 of this era and organization as compared to a season ago. They were the underdog. They came out of nowhere to win a divisional crown in the AFC South and win a playoff game as well. Often the underdog a season ago. This year, as the favorite in all 4 games, they are 0-3-1. They ended out week 4 alongside Miami and Tennessee, or at least Tennessee entering that Monday night. So they ended out week 4 as one of 2 teams alongside Miami that has failed to cover a number so far this year. In fact, it's been a blemish under C.J. Stroud, a team now that is the huntee, no longer the hunter, 3-8-1 against the spread as a favorite. Buffalo now the favorite side here. But where Houston has been really good under C.J. Stroud, at home, 9-3 straight up. And as the underdog, of which they are ever so slightly, 7-4 ATS. All right, it's 1.5. We're talking a couple of cents on the money line. Still a winning record outright as an underdog as well, 6-5. All of that coming during C.J. Stroud's rookie season in Houston. You see the numbers there, 230.5 for Josh Allen, 253.5 for C.J. Stroud, expecting a lot of passing offense for Stroud against Buffalo this week. Not sure I think that number is correct. Last week against Jacksonville, he did take advantage, but Jacksonville's secondary, not very good. Here's a really compelling game, Joe, up next. Not only a divisional duel in the AFC North, but what are the Bengals about to do? They started 0-3. That has often been the nail in the coffin of teams hoping to contend for a Super Bowl since he was trying to do that. Never have we seen a team start winless after 3 weeks in the NFL and win a Lombardi Trophy. Only once in this millennium, since the year 2000, had we seen a team start 0-3 and reach the postseason. 2018, Houston Texans. But Joe, you at the end of that Monday night doubleheader where they got beat by the Washington Commanders and Jaden Daniels said if there was ever an 0-3 team to come out of that hole and reach the playoffs, it could be this Bengals squad. They win by double digits last week against Carolina. They cover as a 5.5-point favorite. Here they are back at home as the slight underdog against the Baltimore Ravens, who looked really good on Sunday Night Football against Buffalo in another contender clash just a week ago. What gives on Sunday afternoon in Cincy?
Well, yeah, here we go again. So the big question with Cincinnati, we've talked about it, is defense, right? And there was some serious concern early on that Cincinnati wouldn't have Trey Hendrickson. After he left that last week's game, he had a neck stinger and did not return in that game against Carolina. However, he has practiced. He's expected to suit up this week, and he's a top 10 pass rusher right now in the NFL. So he is huge to that defense. The other good news for Cincinnati is that defensive line is finally getting healthy. They will have first round edge rusher Miles Murphy back this week, as well as BJ Hill to clog up the middle of the defensive line there and not make running the ball all that easy like Baltimore did against the Buffalo Bills. There is no way in this spot. I think this is going to be much closer to a Cincinnati Bengals full team effort than we have seen all year long. The defense will be whole. The passing game will be whole, and I think the Ravens are in for a long day. I like Cincinnati, and I do think, Ben, this is going to be a lot lower scoring than people think. It's an AFC North battle, people. It's not the AFC West. Expect less scoring in this one.
We shall see, Joe. Two teams right now allowing more than 22 points per game. Two teams that are also adding it up, scoring more than 25 points per game. The Bengals' defense needs to improve. They're the eighth worst rushing defense in the National Football League. They will get a test, of course, against Derrick Henry. Here is the outlook for both teams as we enter the Week 5 Sunday slate. The Ravens back to the minus money favorites to win the AFC North. The Bengals at 17-1 to win the AFC championship. Two teams expected to contend. This is a huge one for the Bengals. We'll have more on that game later. We continue the preview of the Sunday slate next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The Washington Commanders enter Week 5 of this NFL season after the opening month in September on the first Sunday of October with the best record in the NFC East. Jaden Daniels, the Rook, has been sensational. Frankly, historic. 82.1% is his completion percentage. It is the best not just for any rookie quarterback in their opening four games of their career. It is the best of any quarterback in NFL history through the first four games of a single season. And now we're starting to see the odds makers catch up. Washington, a field goal favorite at home this week, Joe, against the Cleveland Browns. Cleveland has been atrocious. They have been so bad this season. The only win on the road on an ugly, muggy, stormy day against the Jacksonville Jaguars. 43.5 is the total for an offensive team in the Commanders that has been putting up points. 42 last week out in the desert against the Arizona Cardinals. What are we going to see on Sunday outside the nation's capital in Landover?
Yeah, ugliness here. I do think it's going to be interesting, Ben, because we know it's going to happen here. At some point, Jaden Daniels is a rookie, people. And at some point, Jaden Daniels is going to get forced into making some rookie mistakes. And this feels like a very desperate spot here for Stefanski and the Browns at this point. And, you know, it's about as evident as possible. The defense has not been great. We thought this defense should be much, much better than what we have seen. Having the hook, Ben, is interesting in this game, right? The Commanders have not turned the ball over but once. They have been protecting the ball, protecting the rookie quarterback, not asking him to have to do too much here. They are now a favorite in this game. They're not a dog. Last couple of weeks, they were a dog. Now they're a favorite expected to win. You talked about this last segment here where it's a different season for the Houston Texans, right? Well, what a difference a couple of weeks makes. And now all of a sudden you're expected to win by more than a field goal here. That's tough sledding. I think the rookie at some point is going to take a step back. This is a very desperate Browns team. I do think the Browns certainly have some value. 3.5s are available, so grab it while you can.
Joe, it's one of those spots where if you've been watching football for the first 4 weeks, the opening month of this NFL season, you see these two teams facing off and you say to yourselves, of course the Commanders are going to win. Cleveland has been awful. The offensive line is dreadful. They can't even protect Deshaun Watson to give a below average quarterback the time he needs to maybe even sniff mediocre. And he has not done anything to change our minds in terms of performance. The Raiders gifted them opportunity to win one last week in Las Vegas, and Cleveland could ill afford the opportunity to take advantage. And we've seen this Commanders team win three consecutive games. They have covered in three consecutive games, their last two outright as an underdog, even the one time they were booked as a slight favorite this year at home against the New York Giants. But Joe, the only time they were a favorite, they laid 1.5 to the G-men. It was the only under of the season for what has become this offensive juggernaut we know as the Commanders. Again, this is one of those spots that we see weekly in the NFL that everything we have seen to this point tells us the Commanders should not only win comfortably, but easily cover as a field goal favorite. Heck, they should be a touchdown favorite against this measly Browns team. but it just feels like that spot. Jaden Daniels this year has been sensational so far. Nearly 900 passing yards already, more than 200 utilizing his legs. He's got four rushing touchdowns. He has scored in three of the four games. He had two rushing scores week number one against the Buccaneers and did find Pater a week ago against Arizona. And the completion percentage is otherworldly. 82.1%. Somehow he is getting better week over week. It is the best completion percentage we have seen for an NFL quarterback over the opening 4 weeks of any single NFL season in league history. But Joe, at a certain point, some of the rookie magic seems as though it is going to wear off. It just feels like that spot on Sunday. Listen, if you're in a pick 'em pool where you're doing things like that, I still think I would pick the Commanders to win. But that flat number of three, maybe three in a hook, that's where I think things get costly, where you might look at the underdogs and the Browns.
Well, you're also then banking on this Washington defense stopping anybody, which they have not been. This is not a good Washington defense by any stretch. And although they gave up 14 points, only 14 points to Arizona, when you look at the numbers, six of their nine drives ended inside Washington territory here. So if the Browns are going to turn this thing around, and a lot of it is going to start, Ben, with the health of that offensive line, which has been decimated by injuries for the first 4 weeks, which is why Deshaun Watson is the most sacked quarterback in the NFL here. However, they are expected to get the tackles back here. If this offense is ever going to turn it around, it's going to be against this defense of Washington, and I think they will here. Washington riding way too high, like you said.
Deshaun Watson has been sacked 19 times. 19 times in four games this season. The Cardinals went right down the field on their opening drive last week, scored a touchdown. It was the highest total of the week last week, 50.5. We thought we would see points, and we still got over because the Commanders put up 42 points. The defense did buckle up later in the game against Arizona. So many similarities, or at least, you know, consistencies between these two teams that will face off on Sunday inside Soldier Field. The Bears and the Panthers. It was the trade 2 years ago that Carolina moved up to get Bryce Young because of that trade. The Bears had the Panthers' number one pick this past season. They draft Caleb Williams. We'll have more on this game on the other side. But Joe, just to show you, 3.5 is the number in favor of Chicago against the Panthers. The Bears laying more than a field goal. How close is this one on Sunday in the Windy City?
It's going to be close. I don't think it lands there, though, Ben, at 3.5. I think that number is going to reach 4, 4.5 before it's all said and done.
The Bears have been a favorite at both of their home games this year. It's their two wins. It's their two covers as the favored side. A little bit more on that one and the rest of the Sunday slate next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The full Sunday slate preview here on a Football Friday on the early line. The Bears and the Panthers, again, so many ties between these two franchises with the trades of the number one overall picks. But there's also the Andy Dalton revenge factor. I kid, but he did spend a few years in Chicago when Justin Fields was the quarterback. That was the youngster for the Bears. Again, Chicago has played two home games this year at Soldier Field. They have been booked as a favorite in both of those games, laying at least 3 points. They have covered in both last week against the Rams, opening weekend of the season against the Tennessee Titans. The offense was the reason why a week ago, and a really strong defense as well. But DeAndre Swift finally got going for Chicago a week ago against LA. The Rams rushing defense ain't great. We'll talk about that in just a little bit. All right, let's go elsewhere around the NFL slate on this Sunday. Divisional duel in Jacksonville. The Jaguars still looking for win number one. Oh, so close in Houston a week ago to only see it dwindle away at the end. a ton of injury questions for Indianapolis. Will we see Anthony Richardson? Might it be Joe Flacco? High ankle sprain for Jonathan Taylor? I would say it's a 50-50 shot as of right now. He is currently listed as questionable. The good news for Jacksonville, Joe, they're a 2.5-point favorite at home in Duval County on Sunday. So they are expected to win their first game of the year. I guess I would say we shall see.
Well, there's a lot of things going wrong with Jacksonville, and it starts, I think, with Trevor Lawrence, right, who has actually thrown the deep ball pretty well here when he connects. The problem is that he's not getting a ton after the catch from his receivers right now. And the good news is Evan Engram back in uniform this week. And good Evan news. Engram led tight ends last year in yards after the catch, which is exactly what Trevor Lawrence is. It's great that you throw a deep ball, but if you're just throwing a deep ball, he catches it and falls down. Yeah, there's a lot of issues that can go on with that. Not to mention, he's missed a ton of wide open receivers here. I do think, and by the way, I think both starting linebackers for Jacksonville, also Devin Lloyd out for this game here. It feels like, and I think there's rain in the forecast as well here, it just feels like if these two teams get it rolling, and I think they will, I don't care who the quarterback is for Indy, by the way. It feels like an over to me here. I can't expect with the injuries on Jacksonville's defense for anybody to stop anybody. And Flacco is more than capable of tearing apart this Jacksonville defense like we've seen others do, Ben. I lean to the over in this one. I want nothing to do to figure out who's going to win it because we both know it's probably going to be one on some ridiculous last-second play that nobody saw coming, and that's the end of it. So I'd rather root for points in this game.
Joe, you and I are seeing things slightly differently for this Sunday slate. You don't think there's going to be a lot of points in Cincy? I think we light up the scoreboard. You think there will be points in this one? I don't think we get many. Jacksonville tied for the third worst scoring offense in the National Football League at 15 points per game so far. And with no Jonathan Taylor, that's really more important to me than who the quarterback is for Indianapolis. I don't know how many points we get in an ugly game for the Jags, just their second at home, which is what we saw also on a sloppy track week two against Cleveland. Mm-hmm. They lost that game as the favorite, losing outright in a game that featured only 31 points. I think we can both agree points at a premium on Sunday inside Gillette Stadium up in Foxborough. The Patriots, a slight favorite at home against Miami. You want to know how bad things are for the Dolphins? Just show people this spread that sees the Patriots laying a point and a half at home against Miami.
I mean, this is just gross on so many levels. How are we getting to 36.5 points in this game, Ben? I'm just curious. How does anybody think we're getting over 36.5 points? There is no way I do anything but bet the under and even the team total under for the Miami Dolphins. That's how bad it is right now here in South Beach.
The Dolphins, the worst scoring offense in the National Football League. If you were to utter those words before the year, they would have called you a lunatic. Again, Joe, it's the same thing we talked about entering Monday Night Football. Mike McDaniel, you're considered the genius boy, the wonder boy. You've now had Snoop Huntley in-house for 3 weeks, about to start his second game in a Dolphins uniform. Figure it out. You still have talented playmakers. Make it work somehow, some way. I just don't know if it does. Mike Pruitt joins us next on a Football Friday here on TEL.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
A Football Friday is not complete unless Mike Blewett is here on the early line on Sports Grid. Big Blue, as always, we appreciate the time. We'll get your thoughts on a wild start to week number 5 around the National Football League. And if it means we will see more chaos and excitement on the opening weekend of October in the NFL. And we'll preview everything we need to know around a Sunday slate. Blue, as always, thanks for being here on TEL.
Thanks for having me. Obviously, I, I didn't get off to a great start last night. I thought it would be more of a low-scoring affair. I think it says a lot about the NFC South in general and us having a difficult time figuring out who's going to take that division. Bucks left one on the field last night, unfortunately for them, but I don't think that division is going to be solved for a long time.
Yeah, it might not be. The Buccaneers are going to feel as though they coughed up an opportunity, literally the late fumble from Bucky Irving. It was part of the madness that ensued, Blewett, midway through that fourth quarter. A fumble, a pick, bad Buccaneers offense to move back the field, having to punt it away to a minute and 14 seconds. Kirk Cousins, without a timeout, leads Atlanta down the field, sets up a Young Weku game tire for more than 50 yards out, and then in overtime on the opening offensive possession, Atlanta comes through. A game-tying score and a game-winning drive, both courtesy of Kirk Cousins. More than 500 yards last night. That's why you go out and sign the guy to a $180 million deal this offseason. Blewett, what was your main takeaway from Thursday Night Football to start week number five?
I think I'm just very confused as to what the Bucs' identity is. They've been very up and down. They obviously have some really explosive offense. And I thought that was going to win the day for them. Obviously, Atlanta also missed a couple of key field goal opportunities, one of them being blocked. But the good news for Atlanta fans is that there was the Aaron Rodgers Achilles surgery and the Kirk Cousins Achilles surgery were documented to be different, and Cousins was expected to take longer to recover from. So this is good news that perhaps he's getting more nimble, more mobile, and he is not yet playing at a 100% level for him. We saw glimpses of it last night, and 42 of 58 for 509 yards and setting an Atlanta Falcons record is a pretty damn good way to get going.
What are you feeling, though, here, Blue, when you look at this division? Big one coming up against the Saints now, Tampa. It feels like this is a – Carolina probably will have more to say about this division from playing spoiler when it's all said and done here, but who are you giving the edge to right now?
I still am not as big a believer in the Saints as other people are. They impressed early on in the season and then fell backwards. I am really between those two teams last night. I think those are the two teams that will battle it out. The good news, like I said, for Atlanta fans is that maybe more pieces are getting involved offensively, and Cousins can spread the ball around more. Kadarrell Hodge gets the touchdown. Pitts, we saw something out of him for the first time this season. I would note, though, that Tampa has still been playing without key defensive players. There's been no Antoine Winfield. There's been no Kalijah Kansi. They have injuries that will make them a better team that they have been playing without, which is why they're 3-2. They might have pulled off another win if they had a little extra defensive help last night.
It will be really interesting to see the NFC South, of course, in the divisional chase for a division that has only sent its division winner to the postseason each of the past 3 years. And by the way, in each of the past 3 years, it has been the Buccaneers winning the NFC South. Might we see multiple teams with the Bucs, the Saints, and the Falcons all in contention? That remains to be seen. So let's fast forward, Blewett, to the first game of Sunday. It starts early across the pond. In foggy old London town, it's the New York Jets and the Minnesota Vikings. The Vikings enter week number five as one of two remaining undefeated teams in the NFL at 4-0 alongside the Chiefs. But the Vikings are the only 4-0 team against the number. Their last three victories outright as an underdog, but now they're the favorites against Aaron Rodgers and the New York Jets. How do you see Sunday starting in London?
So not only are they 4-0, they're 4-0 against the number. They're 3-0 in London, the only team with that many wins and no losses in London. But in Tottenham Stadium, we have seen of the nine games played there, eight of them are one-score games. These tend to be very close. There's obviously a lot of travel involved. I would expect that again. I would give the edge to the Vikings because what's funny about statistically for the Vikings is that we all can see that their defense is playing lights out. Best defense in the league so far by DVOA standards. Their offense does not compare as much, but this is as a result of them having a lot of short fields. So Darnold has been wildly efficient, but he's not putting up gaudy numbers. The touchdowns are great, but this all leads back to the defense creating a lot of turnovers and short fields for the offense. I expect more of that. Look, the Jets had a very rough week. You guys live, you're a Jets fan, Joe, and Ben, you're here in New York. The Jets are getting beat up all week for that pathetic performance on Sunday. They're not that bad, but there are clear issues offensively where the players are not all on the same page. It's difficult for me to trust them and go to London and pull off a win against this Vikings team. I have to lay the 2.5. I think it is a close game, but since it's under the key number of 3, I would take the Vikings.
One of those classic buy low, sell high spots here in that game. It's going to be very interesting at 9 o'clock in the morning. Another interesting game for the AFC is going to be Buffalo taking on Houston. Love the spot for Buffalo getting absolutely embarrassed prime time against Baltimore. Now taking on a Houston defense that can't stop the run themselves. And they can't run the ball this year, Houston. It's a pick 'em price. What are you thinking?
And a ton of penalties, too, for Houston that have not been up at all. The first halves of these Houston games have been flat out bad. Lots of penalties. Joe, you and I are watching it every week live. Yeah. Lots of penalties. They're not getting in the end zone. I definitely like the Bills in the first half of this game. They've been the second highest scoring first half team. Now, Houston has been good in the second half. So you have a situation where the Bills have been a very good first half team. The Texans have been a better second half team. I'm going to lean with the first half, the Bills, to get off to a better start until the Texans start getting it done in the first half and stop committing offensive penalties that are killing drives. I got to roll with the Bills.
A crucial AFC North game on Sunday afternoon, not just for any divisional title hopes, but also for playoff implications this early on the first Sunday of October. The Bengals at home against Cincinnati hosting the Ravens. 2.5-point spread, Blue, in favor of Baltimore on the road with a total at 48.5. What is your expectation for this crucial game on Sunday in Cincinnati?
Really tough one for the Bengals that have not been playing consistently well. They have to face a Ravens team that looks like they unlocked something last week. Divisional home dogs is a profitable place to be. I'm going to roll with the Bengals in this one. Give me the 2.5. I concede that this game could go down to the wire. The historic second halves that we've seen from the Bengals have not rung true so far this season, but I'll still roll with the Bengals. I like their offense to be able to get it done. So give me the 2.5 points as a divisional home dog.
Since Joe Burrow came into the league, that was 2020. He is 23-13-1, or the Bengals are at least 23-13-1 against the spread. Some of that might also be from last year when Jake Browning filled in for Joe Burrow. He will have this game circled, no doubt about it, because it was last year as the Bengals started their resilience after another 0-2 start where they entered in a huge Thursday night football game against the flock. It was the final game that Joe Burrow played, suffering the wrist injury that would sideline him for the rest of this season. Sunday Night Football, a preview next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
A classic NFL matchup on Sunday Night Football. Two of the biggest brands in the sport and in the National Football League face off in the Steel City on a Sunday night. Mike Blewett continues with us here on a Football Friday on the Early Line on Sports Grid. No terrible towel behind Mike Blewett now, just some scenery in the background. But we know where Blewett's allegiances lies. But, of course, he is a very unbiased member to preview this game as well. An interesting spot here, Blue, for the Dallas Cowboys and the Pittsburgh Steelers. The Cowboys are 2-2. They had a mini bye, of course, after Thursday Night Football last week, handling business against the Giants 20-15. not exactly overwhelmingly impressive in their performance. The Steelers suffered their first loss of the season last week against the Colts. They were getting housed to start, made it compelling in the second half, and Justin Fields was great statistically. 2.5-point spread in favor of the Steelers at home on Sunday. How do you break down Sunday night football between the boys and the Steelers?
I think you hit on one of the things that's really important for the Steelers to do, and Fields has commented on it just yesterday. The last 2 weeks, the Steelers have shown a glimpse of a legitimate offense in the second halves of games, but the first halves of their games are field goal fests. They're not putting up a lot of points. And against a Dallas team that historically, at least the last 2 years, has been a very good first half team, I think it's going to be important to match them offensively, or at least limit them. Now, Mike Tomlin is excellent during primetime games. His record is, given the fact that they're barely laying anything here, 1.5, 2.5, I'm going to lean towards the Steelers. Dallas obviously dealing with some injuries as well, but the Steelers, we have thought, and they have exhibited so far this year, that they're going to be a fairly conservative team running the ball a lot. They are now down two offensive linemen. James Daniels declared out for the year, one of their starting guards, and Fautanu, their first-round draft pick, is out long-term as well. So the Steelers are operating with a mash unit offensive line. And, you know, on the other side, the Micah Parsons, DeMarcus Lawrence story. So both of these teams probably not at peak health. I just have to roll with the Steelers, given the fact that their defense has limited the opposing offenses so far this season.
Interesting battle out west there in the NFC, right? Because you've got, let's see, the Cardinals have beaten the Rams have beaten the 49ers, and now the Cardinals and 49ers are going to go at it here. And that Arizona defense is atrocious, Mike. This feels like an over, even though it's the highest number on the board. It feels like we're going to get points. What do you think we're going to get?
Joe, they have no pass rush, none. And it's just for Brock Purdy to sit there and be able to do whatever he wants all day. I just don't know how the Cardinals are going to keep up. This is a Niners team total over. That's the way I would attack it. I'm with you. It probably goes over the 50.5, but you can isolate the Niners. I believe it's 30.5 right now, or right around there. And I don't have a problem with the Niners going over that number.
It is going to be an interesting game. That's a very high total between the Cardinals and the 49ers. San Francisco starting to get a little bit healthier. We did see Debo Samuel and George Kittle return a week ago. The Denver Broncos, two consecutive wins as a road underdog of 5.5 points or greater, continuing the trend of the year of the underdog around the National Football League. Interesting spot, though, for the Broncos back in Mile High as a short favorite, laying 2.5 points against the Las Vegas Raiders. We will not see Devontae Adams for the Raiders on Sunday, and this is a very low number. From 50.5 between the Niners and the Cardinals to 35.5 in Denver on Sunday. How do you see this one playing out?
Broncos love an under, and I don't really see how they're going to go over here. The good news for the Broncos fans and for those that are wagering on the Broncos, I think we saw more evidence last week, and I know they haven't been like this every week, but the Broncos defense can bring it. They do have players there, Patrick Surtain and others. They do have enough talent defensively to compete week in, week out. They're obviously well coached by Sean Payton, and Bo Nix is coming along. It's conservative right now, and it isn't putting up a lot of points, but I do like the trajectory of the Broncos better than I like the trajectory of the Raiders. I know we'll get into Devontae Adams in a moment, but another divisional game. These games are obviously hard fought by both teams throughout the season so far, even though the records aren't sterling. I like the Broncos here. I just don't know what the Raiders can bring me week in, week out, unless you get a good Minshew game. And those are lurking. I just don't know that they're lurking against this Broncos defense.
I don't know that Devontae Adams makes any sense for the Jets, but everyone keeps talking about it. Why'd you bring in Mike Williams? You got Lazard. I don't know that Devontae Adams is going to move the needle. You can't even get the ball to Garrett Wilson as it is. So if it ain't the Jets, where does Adams land?
I think there's a lot of spots for him, potentially. You have to figure out the money, clearly, but we talk a lot about the salary cap, and then teams always find a way around it. The Chiefs, the Steelers, and other teams there have need at that position. The Jets don't really have a pressing need at wide receiver. It's a fun story to connect Rodgers and Adams as good friends, but what are you going to do? Bench Lazard? He's been the best wide receiver on the team so far. And add all that salary cap to it. I don't think the Jets' problems lie at wide receiver. He's got, clearly this is his last year under this contract. He's got $15 million in dead cap for the Raiders. The next 2 years are $35 and $36 million on the cap. Nobody's paying him that. So he's going to have to get a new deal, a restructured deal. And I just don't see why the Jets would be the team that needs him. They don't need him right now. They need to get on the same page as Aaron Rodgers. Garrett Wilson, Alan Lazard, and Mike Williams, when healthy, are not the problem with this football team.
Yeah, how would that look to Garrett Wilson? Hey, I need my guy back. You're not really cutting it as our top wideout. But then again, we'll see who wears the pants for gangrene. Is it Woody Johnson? Is it Joe Douglas? Is it Robert Saleh? Probably Aaron Rodgers. We'll continue previewing the Sunday slate with Mike Lewis up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We continue our full Sunday slate preview around the National Football League, entering week number 5 with Mike Blewett on this Football Friday. Blue to Los Angeles we go, the Rams and the Packers. Green Bay with Jordan Love, 0-2. Green Bay with Malik Willis, 2-0. Quarterback controversy. I kid. Jordan Love is going to get the start on Sunday in L.A., and the Pack is a 3-point road favorite against the Rams. Pretty high total. 48.5 is now the updated number on the FanDuel Sportsbook. How do you break down the matchup between the Pack and the Rams?
100% last week, and they had some bad turnovers, and they got blitzkrieged by the Vikings right out of the gate. But we saw over the course of the game, the offense started clicking a little bit better. They got a bunch of receivers involved. Jaden Reed has really proven to be – there's a couple of young receivers in Nico Collins and Jaden Reed that I think we are seeing. They're going to be a much bigger part of the discussion as we move forward. Reed with Packers and Collins, obviously, with the Texans. But I think – I don't love the 3.5 here. I do like the Packers to win the game, but the Rams catching 3.5 at home, they have a lot of injuries. We all know that, but they've been in really all of their games thus far, and I don't love just going on the road and having Stafford as a 3.5-point dog. I know on paper it looks like maybe the Packers will run them over. I just don't really see that. I think McVay and Stafford have proven to be able to scheme and fight their way into games. So I'll take the points here. It may not be your favorite, but Matt Stafford is that big of an underdog at home. I like him.
And Green Bay can name their score in that game too there. What are we doing, however, with the Giants? Because Seattle will have 5 starters back on defense, it looks like. Nwosu will be there finally. Mafi, you've got Leonard Williams, Jerome Baker, Julian Love. This is going to look like a totally different Seattle defense against these Giants.
I agree. And I this is just not a good spot for the G-men at all. It's evidenced by the spread here of 6.5. Neighbors banged up as well. So I just think that 6.5 is a lot. Joe, you and I talk about it every week, that you can't just start throwing touchdowns around to people and assuming that they would cover. Right. But the G-men, and I think Dable has done a really admirable job. I think he is doing an admirable job. We we talked a lot about this roster going into the year and how they were one of the league's worst. They're not playing like one of the league's worst teams week in and week out. Pathetic opening week, yes, but not since. I just don't know what they're going to be able to do offensively here. So I like a Giants team total under is the way I would play it. I've been focusing on a lot of these teams, the Patriots, the Giants. You were talking about Miami during one of the breaks. Those teams, just I don't see how they can get to their team total.
20th consecutive game for the G-men as an underdog, 10-8-1 against the spread in the previous 19. For a little bit of optimism, maybe this game can be at least slightly competitive. Changing expectation, though, Blewett, from an underdog mostly this year, 3 of 4 games, now to a full field goal favorite at home. It's Jaden Daniels doing that for the Commanders as they are off to a 3-1 start. Best record currently in the NFC East. They host the Browns. With the change of expectation, how does Washington perform on Sunday?
It's a good one. I'll be really watching to see if Washington can handle the expectations in the right manner. But I have to say, the Dan Quinn, Cliff Kingsbury coaching marriage, I didn't know their familiarity with one another. I didn't know if this was going to work, but it seems to be working. There's always a team that comes out of nowhere, and it's clearly Washington this year. Cleveland is not playing good football consistently. They're not as dominant defensively as they have been, and they need to prove that they can stop somebody like Jaden Daniels that is completing 82% of his passes. So I know it's a flat three. Give me Washington here. Give me the Commanders.
Yeah, it is one of those spots, Blue, where you look at it on paper based on what we have seen so far throughout this NFL season, and it almost feels as though the Commanders being booked as a favorite for their second time isn't the story. It's the fact that Commanders are only a 3-point favorite against a woeful Cleveland team to start. But it's any given Sunday in the NFL. Maybe it changes our expectation after this matchup. Mike Blewett, we appreciate it. We'll see you on Sunday alongside the man to your left, Joe Ranieri, on NFL Football In-Game Live Game Day starting at 1 p.m. Eastern Time. We'll talk to you then. Hour number three, our third and final on a Football Friday, is up next.
Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or jeffweilercolumbusautomall.com.
Did you know using your browser in incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? Take back your privacy with IPVanish VPN. Just one tap and all your data, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be instantly protected. IPVanish makes you virtually invisible online. Use IPVanish on all your devices, anytime you go online at home and especially on public Wi-Fi. Get IPVanish now for 70% off a yearly plan with this exclusive offer at IPVanish.com/audio.